finally, after 5 years of product failures, my 35th offer actually worked. And my next 55 products generated over $11 million in sales in just 4 years. But after seeing the flaws in my baby business, I decided to shut it all down and restart from scratch, as entrepreneurs do. Follow me and the other capitalist pig-loving entrepreneurs as I continue my journey to $100 million in sales. I'm your host, Steve J. Larson, and welcome to Season 2 of Sales Funnel Radio.
What's going on, Sales Funnel Radio? Steve Larson. I am excited for this episode today because I'm going to talk about something that I found that I've been actually teaching quite a bit. I actually taught it to my mastermind, it was about 2 months ago. And I wanted to just take some of the highlights of it and just kind of walk through with you. It's interesting when I'm pretty much everybody has been experiencing a drop in lead flow, which is part of the reason why I'm doing an event this week on lead flow, calling a lead flow live. It's also why I've changed my entire community strategy, name and everything, to being lead flow online. And it's about exactly what the name actually is. It's lead flow using the internet. And, you know, while the principles are the same, the strategies are actually mostly the same as well, but the tactics have changed like crazy. You know, I think there's a lot of reasons for it. AI certainly has a lot to do with it, both in terms of all this AI generated content, which drowns out legitimate marketing. You know what I mean? Like, there's so much AI generated content now that it actually drowns out those who have not actually spent the time to figure out their actual messaging. That's common. That's one of the biggest things I've been finding, is that there's companies out there that are, they've never actually figured out their messaging, you know? And so it makes it so that you're, sorry, I'm getting eaten alive by these freaking mosquitoes. I want to walk right now. I've been walking a lot more. Anyway, so there's all these companies though who have survived because they had a great offer, but never actually figured out messaging. The first time I was ever exposed to this was actually when I was in college, before I ever worked, you know, any funnel. Well, I was building funnels for companies. I knew that I would learn funnels faster if I just did it for an existing business rather than try to go start my own. And so that's what I was doing. I was building funnels for different companies. And as I was building these different funnels, I started noticing that there were companies who, like, I would ask them, even so, like, I was already back then asking a lot of the questions I ask now, which is, hey, who's your dream customer? Who do you want to be working with? You know? And it's so funny. There was this company I was doing it for, building funnels for, and they're like, everyone's our dream customer. We want to sell everyone. That's the level of impact we want to have. I was like, that's literally the opposite of the definition of marketing. That's not marketing. Trying to reach everybody is the same thing as reaching nobody. Like, that's the fastest way to make sure your crap doesn't work. You know, so to try to, like, my offer is for everyone, you know? Be like if you were, like, selling water filters or something like that, or, like, air filters. You're like, well, everyone breathes air, therefore everyone should buy. It's like, that's not how it works. That's not how it works, you know? So that, and I remember looking at this business that I was building funnels for, and it was really the first successful funnel thing that I ever created, you know? Like, I remember that first month I helped them bring in 50 grand, and I was just like, wow, you know? It blew my mind. It was amazing. But what was crazy is, that's when I started realizing that there were people who survived simply because they have a good product. And it was literally the word of mouth businesses are the biggest offenders of this, where they have never figured out any marketing. They've never really figured out how to bring in more leads. And they're just like, they're straight up word of mouth. And it's not to say that you can't make a lot of money like that. And yes, there's something to be said that your product is so good that people talk about it, 100%. But it's also a house of cards when you don't learn at least one more way to find customers, you know, just one, right? And so I started kind of talking about the story and telling my mastermind about this principle. And I was just telling them, like, look, you know, don't fall into that trap. You want to put multiple lines in the water. You know, have multiple hooks, be testing things, actively be figuring out how to bring in more people. that's like your job as a marketer is to 24/7 do that. Now, when you elevate into like a CMO or an owner, you're still keeping your eye on that ball, you know, but you're kind of outsourcing the worry of that to a marketer on your team or you know, internal or external to your business organization. Anyway, so I was telling the story, and this was probably, I don't know, they had me repeat this multiple times, okay? And I want you to think about this for your own business. In the middle of a recession or anytime there starts to be a plateauing of lead flow, the most natural thing to do is to begin to widen the dream customer template, you know? Meaning you start to accept people who aren't exactly your dream customer, but hey, they're showing, they wanna buy, they're asking to buy, there's a willingness to buy. And so you go into your marketing copy or your sales funnel, or you go, you know, your ads, and you begin to widen the person that you're actually fishing for. Hey, you know, thinking to yourself, hey, you know what? I'm gonna go, it looks like I could go sell all these people. And they're slightly different than my dream, but why don't we let them in? And I'll tell you, it is actually the beginning of the kiss of death of the entire marketing campaign. So it's the exact opposite of what you're supposed to do. Okay, so if your marketing has been having a hard, if you're starting, you know you're running into this, if you can look at your marketing and start to look at the last 60 days or even 90, look at your last 90 days worth of buyers and ask yourself this question: of everybody who's buying from me, how many of them are actually my dream customer? Not my could-be customer, not my, hey, they just had a credit card on hand and they were willing to buy, so I let them customer. Your dream. there was somebody I was doing, I was writing their offer hook recently, and they're like, well, who's my dream customer? I was like, you're missing, no, is that your dream? I can't tell you who your dream customer is, but tell me who my customer should be. It's like, that's not what I'm asking you. I'm saying, who is your dream customer? I can't tell you that. I'm not you. Who's your dream? And what most people don't realize is that this is a designable thing from the get-go. Like, most people are just like, well, I have to sell to the people that are willing to buy. No, we design marketing for the dream customer, and then we go find the markets that they're in. We don't just sit there and say, what customers are willing to spend the most right now? And that's not your business. You're building a business for a customer at that point, right? Your business is for your dream customer with your offer, and you get to choose that. And then the game is all about just finding where they are, right? That's it. It's very simple. So just look at your last 90 days and say, is, of all the people that have been buying from me in the last 90 days, how many of them are actually my dream customer? And I'm bringing this up because it's extremely common. You know, it's extremely common to allow ourselves to, here's an example. I was doing a half day consultation with someone. What day is it? Saturday? It was yesterday. My gosh, it was yesterday. Ooh, this is a seriously intense week. It was a lot of, so much fun, but my gosh, it was just a lot, you know? Anyway, so I get on with this guy. I do a half day consult. I'm going through his stuff. And he's like, hey, I'm having a decrease in lead flow. And, you know, immediately, and he's a big business. And immediately I'm thinking to myself, all right, let me go check the things that I always check. And one of the first places I check is I look to see if their dream customer is actually who's buying from them recently. And sure enough, I was like, hey, you know, just looking backwards, last 90 days, would you say that you're actually you're attracting people? He goes, yeah, we're attracting people, but we're not getting anyone that actually wants to. And I was like, okay, so what we need to do is we actually need to narrow the avatar. Stop trying to attract so many people. And it feels like a backwards move. And this is one of the hardest parts to do as a marketer or a business owner, is to recognize that not everyone is your dream customer, and you're actually going to get more of the people that you want to once you stop trying to talk to everybody, you know? And so what we spent the time doing was going in, and I have a few tricks that I do that are pretty battle tested on narrowing in avatars, and actually makes marketing easier, makes targeting on ads easier, because you're not trying to sell to everybody anymore. You know, it makes everything gets easier. Ads get easier. They usually get cheaper because your ad's only being served up to the right person now. And again, it feels opposite. It feels backwards. It usually feels like you are, oh, I'm not going to go serve the right people anymore. Or I'm going to serve a, you know what I mean? And so that's usually the things I have to work with a company, you know, when they're starting to, it's not uncommon for someone to fight me on this. Because widening the avatar, widening who your dream customer is the absolute wrong answer. You know, it's the wrong answer. Kiss of death. Kiss of death. You start fishing. It's kind of like when I was, so I love fishing in Alaska. I didn't go this year. Honestly, I'm super bummed by it. I love it. It is one of my all-time favorite recharges on the planet. In fact, we're thinking about running a mastermind up there. So you can come with me if you guys want to. I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there. If you guys want to, let me know. Or if that's something you want me to put together. Won't be very expensive, but it's a full week fishing. Oh my gosh, it's so fun. I'm not really into fishing. It's that fun that now it like converted me, you know? Anyway, so think about this. Fishing in Alaska, the first thing we do when we go out and we fish is we just want to limit, and we want to catch our limit on our salmon. Hey, I hope you're enjoying the episode. Let me interrupt for just 1 minute here. One time I was speaking on the stage at this event, this guy picked up a microphone and he said, "Steve, when do Facebook ads begin paying off?" And I remember looking confused and just asking back, like, "What do you mean?" He repeated the question and said, "Well, we've been spending a lot of money on Facebook ads for a long time now, and we're just wondering when this begins to all pay off, when we actually start making money from the ad." I said, "Wait, Facebook ads are not an investment. They don't pay off someday. This is direct response marketing. So if we don't get a payoff within the first few days, we turn off the ads. How much money have you spent?" I will never forget the look at this guy's face as he realized he had the completely wrong mindset about ads. And he said, "We've spent over $250,000 without any return on ads at all." My stomach fell out of my body. Look, this is direct response marketing, meaning we measure the direct response of our marketing. That's why ads are the holy grail of marketing. They're not an investment that pays off someday, sorry colleges, because every dollar spent on ads should return with another dollar very soon. That's what my good friend John Parks and I are doing, the Chief Ads Officer Workshop on May 15th through the 17th. John has spent over $150 million in Facebook ads profitably and manages the ads accounts for some of the biggest names out there. John is going to take 50 business owners through his unique Facebook ads process while you follow along. At the end, you're going to have your own account running. I simply asked John to show us what's working best today in the ads world right now. John told me that one of the hardest parts of running ads today is finding the right person to do it. Traditional org charts don't really have a spot for the ad buyer, so this workshop will help you install a new role, whether in-house or if you go hire, the new role of Chief Ads Officer inside your business. This workshop is both for those who want to learn ads themselves or for those who want to learn to communicate with their media buyer better. The workshop is only happening one time in person in my event studio in Boise, Idaho, May 15th through the 17th, and all the details are at chiefadsofficer.com. Go to chiefadsofficer.com right now to save your seat and get more details. We can't wait to see you there. Let's get back to the episode. And so, oh, what's up, donkey? It's okay. We can be buddies. Oh, you bark at me every day. I'm gonna give you a hug. That doesn't sound like a bow wow at all. The childhood books are wrong. Bow wow. Anyway, that dog needs a hug. No, it's interesting. So when I wanted to catch a salmon, my point is it's a very specific type of bait and tackle to catch a salmon. It's okay, dog. It's a very specific type of bait to get a salmon, right? Very specific. But as soon as we limit out on the amount of salmon we can catch in a day, we go back in to drop off all the salmon we have caught, number one. But number two, we change our tackle. We don't just change the bait. We actually change the whole freaking strategy, right? And you're, when you're going in and you're fishing for a salmon, there's a specific, you're going in kind of like a specific pattern. And a specific speed, and I'm going to go near certain parts in the ocean that I'm not going to go near when I'm trying to get other kinds of fish. It's a different strategy, totally different, right? And so it's very similar to marketing, right? I don't drop, I'm like, wait, today I want to catch halibut and cod and silver salmon, pink salmon, and king all in this. You know what? Because I'm going to go try and catch all of those, I'm going to put all of those five different kinds of bait on one hook. I'm probably not going to catch any of them. You get my point? We literally move the boat differently. The tackle, like where you put the flasher and where you put, how you drop it in. Is the boat moving or is it stopped? It's literally a different strategy per fish as well. Marketing's no different. And this is one of the kiss, that's why I say it's a kiss of death, is because I'm going to start attracting the kind of fish that I want. Hey, but there's also a certain kind of bait on that hook that's going to attract maybe the predator to the very fish I'm also trying to catch. Now they're both going to get scared away. You see what I'm saying? It's the kiss of death to widen the avatar in your marketing simply because you have a lead flow plateauing, right? Or lack of lead flow. Or sometimes it's very common to see this in recessions, which is part of why I'm talking. It's part of the reason I'm doing this event, is to teach how to do this. Right? How to get daily lead flow, create the drip of lead flow. Okay, so anyway, this is my point. So what do you do then, Steve? What you do is you actually do the exact opposite. And I usually can get people to buy into the fact that, like, look, all right, don't widen. Sure, that makes sense. Widening is the kiss of death. But do I really have to narrow? Yes. You have to narrow. You have to get better at fishing for the fish you want, right? You got to get more specific. You got to get more strict on the fish that you're trying to go get. So, the inclination to go wider does make sense, but don't do it on the customer. What you're trying to do is you're trying to go more narrow on the customer and then wider in the ocean. Okay, you're trying to find a bigger channel. So that's really all it is. That's the trick. That's the secret. Is that in recession, get back to selling BizOp as fast as you can, mixed with narrow the avatar, target someone who's more experienced versus new. Depends what kind of BizOp you're doing though. And then go for a really red ocean. So if you've only been fishing in, it really is interesting. I can't believe I'm using a fishing analogy to you all doing this, but I totally am. But what you're doing in marketing, though, is you're trying to find where those little veins of gold are, where the schools of fish are beneath you. Right? And what's funny is that, like, certain parts of the day, they just stop biting. They're just full. They don't want to eat. I don't know that it's necessarily not down in the ocean anymore. You know, they didn't leave the ocean. They just stop biting. Right? So then what do? Just change locations. Maybe they're biting over there. And so the first kiss of death in recession is, again, to widen the avatar. But the second is to stay in the ocean that you've always been in, thinking they'll come back sometime. It may be so long that it kills your business, though. So you have to get somewhat good at moving to other locations using the same you don't change the tackle. You're still hunting the same fish. You still have the same business. You're just going to a little different ocean. You're going to go to a different place in the ocean. You're going to change around spots in your market. That's it. You're going to try new angles, right? Isn't it funny that we often call fishermen anglers? You're just trying to find a new angle, right? What is with all these dogs? They're just really hating me today, I guess. Anyway, you guys are getting tried and true unedited podcast episode with Steve J. Larson while he walks barefoot. It's like 105 degrees. My feet are on fire. I'm already like a mile and a half from my house, so. Yeah. Marley and I bought grounding bed sheets. I love them. I kind of made fun of all that stuff. Not kind of. I outwardly made fun of things like, oh, I'm out here and I'm grounding. I'm like, what are you talking about? And then I saw someone use a voltmeter on a human being who's touching the earth and then with shoes on. And I was like, holy crap, the earth is conductive. I should go and literally go barefoot more. So I'm going full woo-woo, everybody. Full woo-woo. Anyway, but that's the point of the episode. That's the whole point. Don't widen the avatar, narrow it, but then follow the inclination to go wide by going wider in your market choice. And if no one's biting, change. Don't wait too long to find a new lead flow source for your business. All right, because it starts to change how you sell. If you wait too long and then you get in that moment of desperation, then you start to get commission breath. All right, and then it's like, oh, I have to have a sale now, right? That's a terrible way to approach the market. And there's things you can do. I call them money grabs. There's these cool money grab strategies I drop on my Titans group. It's super fun. In fact, I just did one to my list. But anyway, you know, that's the point though. So my response is to narrow the avatar, widen the market, but then I fish for a more experienced fish. I slide up the experience journey. I don't slide to the beginning. I don't slide to the trailhead of the journey. For example, I love my mom. She's amazing. But for probably the first 2 years I was a funnel builder, she thought I was selling kitchen funnels, like actual physical funnels for your kitchen. And it took a while for me to explain to her. I was like, no, for lack of a better word, I build websites. She's like, what? What's this funnel stuff then? Now notice how the vocabulary is what was spooking her. What we have to realize is that vocabulary is one of the secrets to attracting a dream customer, a more experienced customer. Because if I go out into a marketplace and I say, I don't know, let's say I'm trying to sell a ketosis thing, you know, just a ketosis info product. If I have to educate somebody on what the word ketosis means, that's a different fish. That's a different bait, right? It's the same fish, but less experienced. You know what I mean? I'm gonna catch a younger trout versus a older trout. Still the same kind of fish, but it's just literally newer in the market. And so I'm gonna speak to it different. It's kind of like when I try to teach my daughters what I do, you know? I'm not using all the words. Well, did you listen to my last podcast episode, 10-year-old? In there, I talked about the detriments of not having your SMTP server set up right. It's like, what? It's too technobabbly. But unless I'm trying to go for somebody who's experienced, then I'm going to use more experienced vocab. It's as simple as that. All right, you get better fish with better bait, and you can use the bait to get older fish, more experienced fish. But if it's your thing to go and serve someone at the very beginning of their journey, it's the same fish. You're just going to use different vocab. So that's my approach when I'm doing any kind of, especially during recessions. That's how I react and respond to a recession. I get tighter on the avatar. I slide up the experience chain so I get quote unquote older fish or more experienced. And then I fish in wider markets. I don't go and stay at the beginning of a marketplace. Because a lot of people have a harder time buying, you know? And that's not always true, but that's just a choice that I make. Now, you could do exactly what I'm saying, but go for a tighter avatar, go to a wider market, right? Redder ocean, and then you could fish for brand new fish, right? And speak beginner language, beginner level vocab. So there is some personal preference involved with this, but there is some actual serious principles in here too. Don't widen your avatar. Right? And if it's a recession going on, I think of the word recession like red ocean. Red, so I kind of blend the words. I call it a red session. We're in a red session right now, which means I'm going to go in and I'm going to go to a even bigger, bloodier red ocean that I've had was in before. Same tackle. All right, tighter bait. I'm going to go for one of these more experienced fish who, you know, may not get as spooked. That's the reason I do that, is the experienced fish tend to have more money. It's easier to sell to the affluent in a recession. All right, I feel like I've like completely belabored this point. But I hope that makes sense. Remember that marketers are messaging experts. And so if you're working with a marketer who doesn't understand even the slightest thing that I'm talking about right now, I'm not talking deep concepts for an actual real marketer. Someone who just runs a Facebook ad doesn't mean that they're an actual attentioneer. You know, like think about this. So these are pieces and parts that you may not want to let go of as a business owner. Man, these bugs are just biting me like crazy. Get out of here. All right. Well, you guys are awesome. Would love to have you at my events. And even if you're listening to this after the events, go to leadflowlive.com and you can watch the replays for free when you get a trial of Lead Flow School. Awesome. We'll see you guys.